9. Just try not to die too violently, mistress, Windle said as she crept closer to the sounds of people talking. A nice rap on the head, rather than a disemboweling. That voice was definitely Darkness. The sound of it gave her chills. When the man had confronted her in the Azish Palace, he'd been dispassionate, even as he half apologized for what he was about to do. I hear that suffocation is nice, Windle said. Though, in such a case, don't look at me as you expire. I'm not sure I could handle it. Remember the girl in the market. Steady. Storms. Her hands were trembling. I'm not sure about falling to your death, Windle added. Seems like it might be messy, but at the same time at least there wouldn't be any stabbing. The hallway ended at a large chamber lit by diamonds that gave it a calm, easy light. Not chips, not even spheres. Larger, unset gemstones. Lift crouched by the half-open door, hidden in shadows. Darkness, wearing a stiff white shirt, paced before two underlings in uniforms in black and white, with swords at their waists. One was a Macabaki man with a round, goofish face. The other was a woman, with skin a shade lighter. She looked like she might be Reshi, particularly with that long, dark hair she kept in a tight braid. She had a square face, strong shoulders, and way too small a nose, like she'd sold hers off to buy some new shoes and was using one she'd dug out of the trash as a replacement.
Your excuses do not befit those who would join our order, Darkness was saying. If you would earn the trust of your spren and take the step from initiate to shard bearer, you must dedicate yourselves. You must prove your worth. Earlier today I followed a lead that each of you missed, and have discovered a second offender in the city.
Sir, the Reshi woman said, I prevented an assault in an alleyway. A man was being accosted by thugs.
While this is well, Darkness said, still pacing back and forth in a calm, even stroll. We must be careful not to be distracted by petty crimes. I realize that it can be difficult to remain focused when confronted by a fracture of the codes that bind society. Remember that greater matters and greater crimes must be our primary concern.
Surge binders, the woman said. Surge binders? People like Lift. People with awesomeness. Who could do the impossible. She hadn't been afraid to sneak into a palace, but huddled by that door, looking in at the man she had named Darkness, she found herself terrified.
But, said the male initiate, is it really, I mean, shouldn't we want them to return? So we won't be the only Order of Knights Radiant? Unfortunately, no, Darkness said. I once thought as you, but Ishar made the truth clear to me. If the bonds between men and Spren are reignited, then men will naturally discover the greater power of the oaths. Without honor to regulate this, there is a small chance that what comes next will allow the Voidbringers to again make the jump between worlds. That would cause a desolation, and even a small chance that the world will be destroyed is a risk that we cannot take. Absolute fidelity to the mission Ishar gave us, the greater law of protecting Roshar, is required.
You're wrong, a voice whispered from the darkness. You may be a god, but you're still wrong.
Lift nearly jumped right out of her own skin. Storms! There was a guy sitting just inside the doorway, right next to where she was hiding. She hadn't seen him. She'd been too fixated on Darkness.
He sat on the floor wearing tattered white clothing. His hair was short, a brown fuzz, as if he'd kept it shaved until recently. He had pale, ghostly skin, and held a long sword in a silvery sheath, pommel resting against his shoulder, length stretching alongside his body and legs. He held his arms draped around the blade, as if it were a child's toy to hug. He shifted in his place and... Storms! He left a soft white afterimage behind him, like you get when staring at a bright gemstone for too long. It faded away in a moment.
"They're already back,"
the assassin whispered, speaking with a smooth, airy shin accent.
"The Voidbringers have already returned." "You are mistaken,"
Darkness said.
"The Voidbringers are not back. What you saw on the Shattered Plains are simply remnants from millennia ago. Voidbringers who have been hiding among us all this time."
The assassin looked up, and Lift shied away. His movement left another afterimage that glowed briefly before fading. Storms. White clothing. Strange powers. Shin man with a bald head. Shard blade. This was the Starvin assassin in white!
"I saw them return," the assassin whispered. "The new storm. The red eyes. You are wrong, Nin Sun God. You are wrong." "A fluke,"
Darkness said, his voice firm.
"I contacted Ishar, and he assured me it is so. What you saw are a few remaining listeners who remain from the old days. Ones free to use the old forms. They summoned a cluster of Voidspren. We found remnants of them on Roshar before hiding." "The storm? The new storm? Of red lightning?"
"It means nothing," Darkness said.
He did not seem to mind being challenged. He didn't seem to mind anything. His voice was perfectly even.
"An oddity, to be sure."
"You're wrong. So wrong."
"The Voidbringers have not returned,"
Darkness said firmly.
"Ishar has promised it, and he will not lie. We must do our duty. You are questioning Zeth, son Naturo. This is not good. This is weakness. To question is to accept a descent into inactivity. The only path to sanity and action is to choose a code and to follow it. This is why I came to you in the first place."
Darkness turned, striding past the others.
"The minds of men are fragile, their emotions mutable and often unpredictable. The only path to honor is to stick to your chosen code. This was the way of the Knights Radiant and is the way of the Skybreakers."
The man and woman standing nearby both saluted. The assassin just bowed his head again, closing his eyes, holding to that strange silver-sheathed shard blade.
"You said that there is a second surge binder in the city," the woman said. "We can find—"
"She is mine," Darkness said evenly. "You will continue your mission. Find the one who has been hiding here since we arrived."
He narrowed his eyes.
"If we don't stop one, others will congregate. They clump together. I have often found them making contact with one another these last 5 years if I leave them alone. They must be drawn to each other."
He turned toward his two initiates. He seemed to ignore the assassin except when spoken to.
"Your quarry will make mistakes. They will break the law. The other orders always did consider themselves beyond the reach of the law. Only the Skybreakers ever understood the importance of boundaries, of picking something external to yourself and using it as a guide. Your minds cannot be trusted. Even my mind, especially my mind, cannot be trusted.
I have given you enough help. You have my blessing, and you have our commission granting us authority to act in this city. You will find the Surge Binder. You will discover their sins, and you will bring them judgment in the name of all Roshar.
The two saluted again, and the room suddenly darkened. The woman began glowing with a phantom light, and she blushed, looking sheepishly toward Darkness.
I'll find them, sir. I have an investigation in progress.
I have a lead, too, the man said. I'll have the information by tonight for certain. Work together, Darkness said. This is not a competition. It is a test to measure competence. I'm giving you until sunset, but after that I can wait no longer. Now that others have begun arriving, the risk is too great. At sunset, I will deal with the issue myself.
Bollocks, Lift whispered.
She shook her head, then scuttled back along the hallway, away from the group of people.
Wait, Wendell said, following. Bollocks? I thought you claimed you didn't say words like...
They've all got 'em, Lift said. Except the girl, though, with that face, I can't be certain. Anyway, what I said wasn't crass, 'cause it was just an observation.
She hit the intersection of corridors and peeked to the left. The old man on watch was dozing. That let Lift slip across into the room where she'd first entered. She climbed out into the tree, then closed the shutters. In seconds, she'd run around a corner into an alleyway, where she let herself slide down until she was sitting with her back against the stone, her heart pounding. Deeper into the alleyway here, a family ate pancakes in a somewhat nice shanty. It had two whole walls.
Mistress, Wendell said.
I'm hungry, she complained.
You just ate.
That was catching me up for spending so much getting into that starving building.
She squeezed her eyes closed, containing her worry.
Darkness's voice was so cold. But they're like me. They glow like me. They're awesome, like I am. What in damnation is going on? And the assassin in white. Was he going to go off and kill Gox?
Mistress?
Wendell coiled around her leg.
Oh, mistress. Did you hear what they called him? Nin? That's a name of Nalan, the herald. That can't be true. They went away, didn't they? Even we have legends about that, if that creature is truly one of them. Oh, Lift, what are we going to do?
I don't know, she whispered. I don't know. Storms. Why am I even here?
I believe I've been asking that since...
Shut it, Voidbringer, she said, forcing herself to roll over and get to her knees.
Behind her in the cramped alley, the father of the family reached for a cudgel, while the wife tugged the curtain closed on the front of their hovel. Lift sighed, then went wandering back toward the immigrant quarter.